biggin and steadin for miles with thack it was na, and the tail o' ilky slate reef had a fringe o' icicles dreepin. The yallow sun gart the hein off Ledrach Dam shine like mither o' pearl, for the fight swans chittered atween the floes o' ice. The heart o' the grun was like iron. In the spring the grun clung to your fit when you trod o'er it, and winter it threw ye off. But winter or nay, the Sabbath was the Sabbath, and downstairs our ma was crying on her, "Minnie, your parach is out. You'd better be up and rig it. We'll be leaving early the day to be sure to win through the snaw in time for the kirk." Down the stairs she ran to the warmth of the kitchen. My grandsie was over at the sink, pairing tatties for dinner time soup. Da was feeding the gowd china his hunter watch through the eelets of his waistcoat. His beets were shining like sharn, you could see your face in them, and the sapples of soap were still wheat aneath his lugs, for he'd razored awa' his stibble, and his mouser was washed and camed as grand as a provost. Her ma was preening a wide feathery hat onto her thick black hair. Sally Bruce had a tweed cape buttoned round her neck, and a thick worsted scarf from watching mohos. She was a bonny woman, the mistress of Steen Hillock. Stout kind, but she carried it well. Hanging down for her collar was a jabot of white lace, preened by a mauve cairn Gordon. She'd gotten for her folk at Migvry, when she'd left her home to Mary and bide with Steen Hillock. She was counting the change for her purse to make sicker she'd mairn and yoke to put in the plate the elder would hand roon in by the kirk. Matty, Minnie's brother, was rigged in long hose tucked in aneath his knee-length breeks, and a thick tweed cape rugged down over his lugs. His gallus's wouldn't bide buttoned, and Matty's mither was fichtering with him. "Sup your porridge, Minnie, your eye a hen like the cow's ae tail," her mither raged. But her da winked at her fair in her ma's back, and waited with the quiney while she teamed her plate, and helped her up into the governess car from the one outside. Tibby was hitched to the black springy car, stamping and snochering and tossing her long black mane. Minnie's dog had room to hear a word with her. "Oh, lass, bonny lass, wishty noo," he said, smeathing down Tib's flaring nostrils. "You'll get a fine feed of oats when the kirk's scaled, and a fine rub down in the stable. A bit of less temper noo, and a bit of mare peace." "God's sakes," mummled Minnie's ma to her twa half-grown bairns. "Your da should have merit a shelt, he's half-shelt as it is. I swear he spends mair time in the stable than he does in the house. He's mair concerned about Tibby and calling us, and is dashed well starving in this car, say it is." But now Tib was saddled in harness, and down the road they gid, past the peat shed and the byre, barring on past the stable, the chammer, the neep shed, and Jock Dow's chammer, on the way to the kirk, the wheels of the governor's car leaving sheeny tracks of ice in the skitey brae. The woods that circled their father's parks were like burgundy, winey brown and bare in the deed thra winter. A robin wheepled out to them for the top o' a rock. The brummel bus at the road ain was like barbed wire. The deed brummels were wee hard pearls o' black, like rabbit's trappings. As they trotted ahin the drifts o' icy snaw, a craw and a green branch abeen them opened and shut its doubt feathers like a lady clicking her fan, and craked after them hearse we call. The shooks by the road were running full a black bree. Minnie teetered to the burn over the side of the governor's car, watching a branch trail its fingers into the water. Long patterns of larks and swirls of blake and fight ran far the sun catched the watery treelips of snaw bree, garring them shine in the yellow, bleary sun. There'd been nae skating at the Ledrach Dam this year, out of respect for the trout walley quarters, as Dother Jessie had drowned herself there last Yule, rather than hae the bairn she was carrying. For the feather was only himself and Jessie Kent, for she took their secrets wi' her to the grave. "Water christened her, water kissed her," Minnie's ma had said. For the lips o' a frimmed woman drop as honey for the came, and her moo is smoother than ile, but her een is worse as wormwood, sharp as a twied sword. Her feet gang doon to death, her steps took hod o' hell, Minnie's da had said, quoting fae Proverbs. For he had teen it as a personal affront to himsel in his position as an office bearer in the kirk, that he knew his maids had gotten herself bairnt in his firm, like as no we knew his feed men. Though Jesse Matheson had broken the commandments as weak as Eve before her, Stine Hillock, who'd a thought for her feather dod and scunner of the damaged sail, had bant many if he sit unfit with it on her yard road. The governor's car was down in the main road now, but the main road was a thin, cleared path atween was a glimmer and snow. To be shepherd hooves, though, held firm in the skitey ice. The snow had stopped it. The kirk was reached. The Bruce family made ready to step down out of the car and take the wee path atween the headstones to the kirk door, for the beadle was ringing the summons to prayer for the muckle moo of the Stine Hillock parish kirk bell. The small stean in the kirkyard was vrocht in the shape of a hert, and chiselled on was the bear to our words, wee Jakey, a cotter's bairn for her date in last year's winter storms and pneumonia. Minnie chittered, though her clays were warm. Her family had gone to the funeral for the cotter buddies were kirk buddies, but the grave digger opened the wrong layer and the ground being harder to gie near an hour to fill it again and open the righty. Many kent most of the names in the steins for folk in the flood very long or very far from the merit, nae like her ma, for belonged to Migvry, awa at the back of beyond.